Luke chapter 8, reading from verse 22 to verse 25. It's a very powerful passage, and on this Thanksgiving weekend, this is a chance to hear the word of the Lord one more time. One day he got into a boat with his disciples and said to them, "Let us go across to the other side of the lake." So they set out, and as they sailed, he fell asleep. And a windstorm came down on the lake, and they were filling with water and were in danger. And they went and woke him, saying, "Master, Master, we are perishing." And he awoke and rebuked the wind and the raging waves, and they ceased, and there was a calm. And he said to them, "Where is your faith?" And they were afraid, and they marveled, saying to one another, "Who then is this, that he commands even wind and water, and they obey him?" Would you bow your heart with me? Again, Lord, we thank you for this thy word. We thank you, Lord, that the word of God, builds faith. And I pray that you will build our faith even here this morning as we talk about this passage. You say, "Come, Holy Spirit, and just illuminate this to our hearts, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen." They ask a question. This boat experience. I actually see things. You know how you say, and they got in the boat and they went across the lake, and they got in the boat and Jesus brought another boat along and he taught them. Oh, and they got in the boat and there was this ghost, and they got in the boat. There was always getting in the boat. I can think after a while, Jesus says, "Why don't we get in the boat?" No, I don't get in the boat. Whatever you do, don't get in the boat, because something terrible is going to happen if you get in that boat. And there are all these lessons, these wild and crazy lessons that come out of this boat experience that you don't want to go in the boat in case another lesson is about to happen. Well, there was. And they're going across the lake, as Jesus said they were going to go across the lake. And this violent, wild, and crazy storm, which is not uncommon, but at one that size. One commentator said that it probably was affected by an earthquake. That the earthquake caused such a huge amount of waves. They were seasoned fishermen. They were used to squalls and storms of various kinds. That was never the problem. They were not afraid of a regular kind. This was demonic in effect, so that Jesus could be. They would try to kill him yet again. And so it was. This thing happens. It's not normal. They're frightened. And so much so that they think they're going to die. And so that predicament, so they wake up Jesus. Of course, he's asleep. Now, somebody said, "Are you sure he's asleep? Maybe he was just faking it so he could teach them." No, I think he was. If it says he was asleep, he was asleep. Boy, there's trust for your Heavenly Father, right? There's a storm of biblical proportions. There we have it. A huge storm, and Jesus is sleeping. I wonder if they were slightly irritated. They think they're going to die. And Peter or Jesus says, "What's wrong with you?" What's wrong with your faith? Where's your faith? Where is your faith? And this one who calls us, he's really, who are you? Who are you really? Because you're scaring us. You're beginning to scare us. So we asked, they asked, "What manner of man is this? We thought we knew him. We don't know this dimension of him. What is the nature?" And that isn't that the question. That is a very good question. What is the nature of this man? They thought he was a good teacher. They thought he was someone who could comfort them and show them the way and show them the Father. But now, here's the one who calms, who stands up in the boat and announces peace. Well, in another passage, "Peace be still." But he calls the wind and the sea, and he speaks to them. He speaks to the wind and to the sea. And those forces listen to him, and they take instruction from him. What do you say? I wonder what actually words he said. peace be still or cease. But that's powerful storm. Jesus simply, merrily, I'm sure he said, oh, you'll never learn, will you? And he stands up and the whole thing goes calm. There's as if there was no storm at all. And he asked the question, where is your faith? I think of the nature of this man, and I think we'd have to conclude that he's, and many people have used this word, the God-man. Because one minute, he's asleep in the boat. He was human. The next minute, he is standing rebuking the waves. He is divine. He's deity. One minute, he's having a meal. The next minute, he's breaking loaves. What manner of man is this? What is he? Is he God? Yes. But is he man? Yes. He's both. That's the nature of him. He's the one who calms the wind and the sea and forces obey him. See, God and man, two natures in one person. In one moment, he's dying on the cross. The next moment, he's proclaiming the resurrection. And you get that back and forth all of the time. Two natures in one person. I would think that after this event, it was probably never quite the same. You see, the reason why they didn't have to be afraid, because he said, we're going across to the other side. He didn't say, we're going to go as far as we can make it. He didn't say, well, we're going to try and see how far we go here. Not quite sure. No, he said, we're going to the other side. And had they taken him at face value and said, good, we're going to the other shore. You're in charge of this? Or good. All right, we'll go. That's what we'll do. But the storm comes up, and it frightens them. But you know, in all of things frighten me too, and things frighten you. It frightens our faith, and we worry about things. But the issue here is, who's in the boat? In your life, who's in the boat? If it's the God-man, if Jesus is in the boat, then I don't need to worry. That's what matters. Who's in your boat? If the Lord is there, we're ready for all the events. It's a strange thing how Jesus handled. I'm not quite sure why he rebuked them. He was like, what's the word I'm looking for? It was a divine rebuke. A divine rebuke. Where is your faith? In other words, where is it now? Where is it when you need it? I guess what he was really saying is, why don't you just stand up and you do what I did? Calm the sea. That would have been interesting. Where's your faith? And I know as a pastor working with people over the years, I have had to say to many people, and then of course have the Lord say it to me too, and say, listen, you're falling apart here. You can't afford to fall apart. There's too much depending on you. You have to get it together. Where's your faith? And many times people say, I don't. It fell apart at the last crisis. My faith fell apart back there or back over here. Over here it happened. I was doing fine, and now I'm acting like I have no faith whatsoever. So, where is your faith at this moment? I think that is one of the most powerful things. You know, I don't know what it is, how it is for you, but sometimes I become somewhat agnostic when I'm disillusioned by how Jesus sometimes, in my mind, doesn't come forth for me. He colors outside of the lines, and it frustrates you. And you say, Lord, if I were you, I would have looked after me better than how you looked after me. Why did you let that thing happen? And your faith begin to doubt, and you pull away because you thought it was going to be like this or like this or like this, and it wasn't. It was different. And you begin to doubt the Lord. And the Lord would say, where's your faith? And so you might be going through a crisis right here today. And we would say to you, Do you have faith? Well, I'm saved. No, that's not the same. Right? Salvation is a free gift. But do you have faith for this situation? Can you trust the Lord in this situation? Can you trust the Lord with your loved ones? Can you trust the Lord with your plans and all the things that come from that? Where's your faith? And I know that God allows me to see the storm. This could have been called the storms of life because they come. And they do. We're not exempt from them. Have you noticed that? We're not exempt from them. They happen. The rain falls on the just and the unjust. We're not. What happens to me happens to my neighbor and vice versa. And so I've often wondered about that. How is it? But they're just the storms of life. It can be financial. It can be physical. It can be relational. There's just different things. And you go through it. It could be your children. It could be your parents. There's just so much going on all the time. There's many opportunities to exercise your faith. Many opportunities. Because the Lord will make sure that I can't explain it all in a sentence. And there will be this, you say, well, I guess we'll just have to trust God. Yes, but what does that mean? And then we begin to exercise our faith. But sometimes we don't exercise our faith. That's what I'm getting at here. We don't exercise our faith. In other words, we try to figure it out without bringing faith into it. God somehow delights in presenting us with situations that it requires him. It just requires him to help us because we don't, but we trust him. Say, I don't know how this is going to work out, but I'm trusting him as my Lord and my Savior, as the one who's caring for me, the one who's going before me. One thing I know, you must not allow yourself to become overwrought with anxiety. He doesn't permit that. You have to guard that you don't lose control. Because we've all been there where we're beside ourselves and we're worried and we're anxious and there's anxiety galore and we're doubting. We're not claiming any scriptures. We're not claiming the word of the Lord. We're not praying even. We're worrying and we're fretting and we're overwhelmed by these moments. And so the Lord would say, Owen, where's your, trust me. Yeah, I know that's the right answer, Lord. But it doesn't seem that easy. Because if you could just show the flashlight a little further down the path, that would really help. That would help a lot. You just shine the flashlight so that I can see where the path is. Because I don't know what's happening here. I don't know where this is going to go. And I know I'm supposed to have faith, but it's kind of difficult. Lord, to have that. So, what we have to avoid, you can't allow, if you're a child of God, you cannot allow this to disrupt you. You need to get a hold of it, as I do, to lay hold of things. I wrote here the importance of staying away from wits. He was at his wit's end. You don't want to be there. And this is where you have to, maybe you'll be walking around your house and you'll be blessing the Lord and say, thank you, God, I don't live at wit's end. Thank you, Lord, you go before me. You're my Lord. You've never failed me yet. I bless you and praise you by faith. I don't know what you're doing, but I'm going to trust you. Whatever way this goes, it doesn't even matter to me now, but I will not panic. And you declare it. I will not panic, because that's the natural tendency, to panic. And you are not allowed to, God, because you're a child of God, because you have resources, because you have a God that you can call on. Therefore, we don't. I think He allows us a little leeway there, just a little bit of time to get it together. You know, you find the car's smashed. All right, I'm falling apart here for a moment. Lord, I just surrender to you by faith. Thank you. I walk by faith, not by sight. Don't know what's going on here, but I'm going to trust you. And Lord, just give me your supernatural peace right now as I take charge of this situation. But I've got to take charge of it, and I will not panic. In the name of Jesus, I will not panic. In the name of Jesus, I won't fall apart. Do I feel like falling apart? Yes. Will I? No. Why? Because God's counting on me not to blink. Not to blink. So we look at him and say, Lord, I'm trusting you. Don't look away. Yeah, I've got plans here. I'm doing something here. Let your faith be seen, that it might glorify God. You know, you see a crisis on TV. Almost inevitably, a Christian seems to emerge out of the TV clip footage. You notice that? That we talk, how you can tell because of their language. They said, well, you know, we're very fortunate to be alive, but we just thank God. We just thank God for his help, and we really thank God for his care over us. And this could have been a way 10 times worse than it was. And it wasn't. We're just looking to the Lord. We know he's got plans for us, and he hasn't explained everything. You know, here are all these testimonies coming in. You're watching the news, right? Say, those are all believers because of how it sounded. They were not at wit's end, even though you kind of say they had every reason to, but they weren't. And they're speaking calmly, and they say, well, we don't know, but we believe that we're Christians. And sometimes they'll say we're Christians, but many times they don't, but you can tell. And I'd say to Val, if you're watching, I said, listen, they're believers. Because they've laid hold of something. They're trusting God in the midst of this crisis, right? The tornado or the flood in South Carolina. But they're trusting God. They're not looking to their own resources. And we must not look to our own resources. We are people of faith. And at any moment, Jesus will say, where is your faith? Owen, where's your faith? You're acting like a pagan. You're full of anxiety like an unsaved person. How is there any difference between you and an unsaved person? No, there's no difference. They have unbelief and you are living in unbelief. You aren't trusting me. Listen to your language. Your language is negative. Your language is defeat. You must arise. And I know this, and you know, but everybody is the same on this, is that we have to say, in Jesus' name, I arise. I'm up for the moment. Don't know what I'm going to do. I'm a little beside myself. But I'm not going to turn my back on you now because of this. We've come this far by faith, leaning on the everlasting arms. And we will go the distance, whatever. And it doesn't matter whether we live, this is what Paul said. He said, it doesn't matter whether you live or whether you die. He said, I am the Lord's. And that is part of our faith statement. Doesn't matter. We're not putting things on, oh, God, you have to prove that you're God. No, Lord, whatever it is will be. We're going to trust you, and we're not going to blink. We're going to stare at you, Lord, and trust you, that our faith is in you. So we stay away from wit's end. That's where you panic. That's where you lose it. And you become you, and your language is not faith language. Now, I'm not talking about just giving some silly little pithy sayings. I'm talking about laying on the Word of God, where we trust the Word of God as our anchor. I think we can honestly say that our faith will always be tried and tested. There'll never be a time. So here I am at this moment of my life, at this age, in this circumstance, with this group of people, God's working in me, and he's still building faith into me so that I would walk by faith. And what an adventure. What an adventure. That the Lord allows it, that my faith would be tested. And many of you are here, and you are strong in the Lord because you've been through the fire. I mean, God's fire. You've been through the fire. And you were tested. You stayed true to the Word of God. You were a great inspiration to others. And we didn't know the whole story, but we know that you've gone through some testing and some trials. And it's done miracles for you. You are strong. We're not strong, you know, at the, how would I put this? To come before the Lord, there's not much growth where you think it's going to be. You see, it's usually through your difficulties that you grow the most. I can look back in my life, almost all of my growth was not during good times, it was through difficult times, where I wasn't sure what was supposed to happen here or there, sometimes with the church, sometimes with my life. But one thing I can say is that I know the Lord. I said, why would you allow that? I'm just growing your faith. You're coasting. Your life right now is no different than anybody other person. Owen, where is your faith to trust me? So we're tried and tested. Which brings me to 1 Peter chapter 1. Let me read it. This is ever. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials. Grieved, isn't that a good word? Now this is Peter writing. Peter, we all know about him. You've been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus. Wow. Yeah, hallelujah. That's right. For a little while, he says, there's a testing. Not forever, but you go through it. And it's funny how your testing is different than my testing. Isn't it? Often like you're, but by faith I'd say, well, this person's going through a difficult time with their grandchildren. And they're really, and so we enter in, we're not quite sure all there is about that, but mine, I don't have grandchildren, but there's other, my point is that we're tested the same way. Yours is just different. And we need to be sympathetic and we need to remember people and pray, knowing that they're going through a difficult time. The reason why we pray for them so is they don't lose faith. That's why we pray for that person. Let's remember to pray for so-and-so. Let's remember to pray. Yes, what do we pray? Pray that they'll remain strong. Pray that they will be overcomers. Right? Not just say, oh, Lord, prevent them, keep them. Yeah, that's part of it. But that's the secondary thing. The main thing is that your faith not fail. There are people who are looking to you in where you work. And if you fall apart and you fail to trust God, that's a terrible advertisement for your life. Because they can do that. They can fall apart without anybody's help. So when they look at you, and it's not that you're all happy-faced and you're smiling all the time and everything is wonderful. No, it's not. They know you're hurting. But it's so powerful that you are rejoicing in the midst of pain, or you're rejoicing in the midst of a difficulty, or one of your family. You know, there's lots of things. And they look at that and they say, huh, it's amazing. You must have some kind of inner force. I've heard that. You must have some kind of a strength or something. How come you're not drinking over at the Bear? Because it seems like that'd be a pretty good place to be. Why aren't you? What is it? Where is this thing that you've gone through this difficulty? And you just gently smile and say, well, if it wasn't for the Lord, I'd be there too. But you see, because I have a relationship with God through Jesus, I have an inner strength. I have the Lord. And it's not me. I'm scared to death about everything. And I'm scared to death about this situation I'm in. But I'm drawing on him, and we're finding he's more than enough. My God is more than enough. He'll see us through, and we have confidence that he'll see us through. And then, of course, you know, if this thing is, it's amazing how you can say, you've got a few minutes, let me just try to explain about this relationship with God that I have. And you oftentimes that person, because they're marveling that that you are so calm about this, that you're not bitter. Say, oh, I'll tell you, if my husband would have done that when he left with that woman, I'll tell you, there'd be, you know, and they got this very colorful language. And you say, how come you, that moron you were with, why did you put up with him at all? How come you have any kindness at all in your heart? How come you're not bitter? Because, number one, God doesn't want me to be, because I'm trusting God to work in my life. Wow. So, if necessary, you've been grieved by various trials. Oh, yeah. My journey's not over. I'll have lots of journeys, lots of trials. They're not all, sometimes they're smaller, sometimes they're larger, but you just will. He said, if necessary, you've been grieved. Various trials. So that the testing, the tested genuineness of your faith. When everything goes perfectly, how is that a credit to God? It isn't, because anybody can do that. It's when it's bigger than us. A problem bigger than the tested genuineness of our faith. And then he says, it's more precious, this thing. God's more interested in your refining and my refining. That it's more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire. Tested by fire. Yeah. Sometimes they're little things, right? You get a flat tire when the least time you needed it. I remember one morning, and we were just starting holidays or something, so I was preaching here in the morning, and then we loaded the car up, and we were driving out, and we were just towards Bellingham, and all of a sudden, there's this boom! Sorry to wake you up, I didn't mean to. This boom! And Val said, what is it? What is this? I said, it's a flat tire. I said, I haven't had a flat tire in 25 years. I don't think I have. I said, it's a flat tire. She said, flat tire? Yeah, so you pull over hoping you're still alive and all the cars going by. And there we are hauling everything out of the car so we can find the jack, right? And, of course, I talked to you about this already, with the little jack they put in these cars. And how are you going to pump this thing up here? It's crazy. They're always the same. They're always the same. Whatever car you get, that's what you get. The little thing about that big. And that's how. So we're both trying to put our combined weight on it so we can, we can get the old one off. And we get back in the car. Of course, I didn't fill that little hard rubber thing, there's like a tire inside. And I didn't fill it for a couple of years. Because I never had a flat tire before, so why would I need to bother checking the spare? Well, I wished I would have checked the spare, because now we got about that much air in the bottom of the tire I could see. And I said, I think there's enough to get to Bellingham. I think we probably can do that. And she wasn't quite so convinced, but she said, but I think we should go to Walmart. Walmart? They're not gonna, it's Sunday afternoon. Sunday afternoon, there's no way there's going to be a store open. We're going to get a tire fixed, to get air in the tire. So anyway, sure enough, there was, of course. The Lord always proves me wrong. And we get in there, and they're just closing. And I said, if you could help, I'm a Canadian, and I'm in trouble here. And I said, my tire is flat. Oh, no problem. I'll fix it right now before I go. So we're fixing the tire. Then we're going, everything's fine, right? Then we're going along farther. And as I came to a stop, somebody nudged into it. I could hit the car, but it wasn't hit it very hard. It just kind of hit it as I'm turning off. What in the world? Val started to cry. She said, what is happening? She said, this whole thing seems. And I said, I don't know what's going on there. So we just pulled over and said, listen, Lord, this is how. We don't know what's going on here right now. There's all these weird things happening all at once. It seems odd. It seems unnatural. It seems like it's like an attack, like a storm. And so we just said, Lord, we don't know what that's about, but we trust you. We put our faith in you, that we're safe, that in our going out and our coming in, we're blessed, and we're trusting you for everything that needs to be. Thank you for your hand upon us. And if this is an attack by the enemy, we rebuke him, we pray against him, and we pull down every stronghold against us right now in Jesus' name. And then we got back, and there was a difference because we had touched the Lord. And once you know that you're there, when you know who's in the boat with you, and we knew that the Lord was with us, it was small stuff compared to other people's problems, this is nothing, but it's an illustration of how his various trials to test the genuineness of your faith. Did our faith, were we mad at God and, oh God, you don't love us anymore, instead of trusting him? So we see this gold is heated and heated and heated, tested by fire, and it results in praise to the glory of God. I mean, that's just a wonderful, wonderful thing. So we thank the Lord for 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6 and verse 7. But you know, the most terrible part of all, of going through a trial, is, and if we don't do it right, the problem with it is then we doubt the goodness and care of the Lord. We begin to doubt him, that he's not sufficient, that he's not helpful enough. And our hearts become full of unbelief. And I've been there, where I was not at all in a realm of faith. I was into a humanistic, selfish thing where I was thinking only of me and that God had not come through for me. And when you realize that, you say, oh, I just need to repent. I need to repent of my unbelief. Where is your faith? Thank you, Lord. Where is my faith? And so I lay hold of the things of the Lord, and you're able to sail through. It's amazing. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing to go through a crisis. And you know what you have to say? It really was just God. I can't take any credit for it. I wish I could, but I can't. We looked to the Lord, and he worked. It didn't work it out, but Romans 8:28 came to pass, and that came to pass, and it was wonderful how our faith grew in that trial. Because that's what we're asking, for God to grow us, and not to be afraid, not to travel in fear. How many know that fear is a deadly thing? Fear brings torment. It does. It torments you. And we must cast out that spirit of fear in our lives, because once that kicks in, it really fills you with all the wrong stuff. So that brings me to the last point about applying our faith to a present situation. There'll always be trials, always. So far in my life, it's been a series of opportunities to trust Christ. But not exempt from it. Water heater goes at our place, the same as it goes at your place. Right? You lose your job. Yeah, just common stuff, right? That's just ordinary stuff. But it's how we respond that we're trusting God for to take us through, to bring us through. Somehow, some way, this is not just some wasted thing, but it's builds faith into our present situation. And I am always encouraged when I hear stories of faith. When people tell us things about how that happened and that happened, I say, wow, that's wonderful. And what happened? You say, well, I don't know, but it was, and this thing worked out that way. We just can't believe how the Lord was helping us. The Lord is our helper, and we're trusting him. We're looking to him. We have our eyes are not fixed on anything else. But if it is, if I'm at wit's end, if I'm fretting and worried and I'm not sounding like a Christian at all, sounding like a non-Christian, someone who doesn't have any faith, where's your faith? So what did he want? I think he wanted them to stand up and do what he did. Because why would Jesus ask the question? Because it says, Master, Master, we're perishing. And he awoke, rebuked the wind and the raging waves, and they ceased. And there was a calm. Now, he said to them, where is your faith? And they were afraid. Now, there's an explanation here. It doesn't say they were afraid of they're afraid of the storm. They were afraid of him. They were afraid of him. Because who has this kind of power? Who can do that? I mean, they're just, it's this raging storm where they're absolutely convinced they're going to die. A demonic storm. A demonic storm that was probably sent to try to kill Jesus before he went to the cross. There was several, many of those actually accounts. And they see, you're scaring us. I've never seen that. Never seen your, and it says, and they were afraid. And they marveled. Who is this? Who does this kind of stuff? The Lord. And they had an encounter with the Lord. And I think you're going to find the same things in your life. You're going to say, I'm afraid of you because I can't control you, because I can't manipulate you, because I can't taunt you. You are the God-man You are human in every way, and you are divine in every way. And you're frightened of doing that. So that's what I say when they want to go in the boat. No, we're fine on the shore. We're doing good here. Why? Because what's he going to do? What's he going to do that we're going to be scared out of ourselves? And it just brings that wonderful story. Who then is this? And that commands the winds and the water, and they obey him. And so I think he wants obedience, and that we walk in faith, and that we watch what he will do in our lives. It actually, this walk of faith, by the way, is not to be a dread, oh, what's going to happen to me next? No, just enjoy your life. And these trials will come along, and sometimes there's somebody else's trial that we come along to help them and encourage them. But one thing is the encouragement of the saints. We encourage them that their faith is an opportunity for their faith to grow strong, and that's we can often encourage people that way. To say, listen, is it going to be okay? Haven't you done it? I know you have, many of you. Said, why don't we pray about this? Why don't we pray about this? And you do, right? And you bow your hearts together and you thank the Lord for watching over, and somehow he's going to bring good. He's going to magnify his name. And that is a great moment to pray with that. You've had people pray for you here in this church, many of you. Someone else came alongside of you just to encourage you. Why? That you wouldn't lose faith in that situation. So that brings us to the moment. I love this moment, actually. Tell me about your faith journey. Tell me what has been maybe a trial, but not necessarily a trial, but just that you have had to trust God because you had no one else to trust. Who would like to be first? Doesn't have to be traumatic, just oh yes. Yeah, maybe just stand, Joe, just for your volume's sake here. Sorry, second one was what?
To be brave.
Oh, yeah, brave, yes.
And the third one was to watch the signs. And I can't do the first two. When I'm faced with a crisis, I can't stay calm and I can't be brave. In fact, I want to hightail it with the director. But when I get to the third part that reminds me to watch the signs, that is a strong reminder for me that God is there, right with me, and is showing me where I need to go.
Wow. Write this down. This is better than the sermon. That's great. Be calm, be brave, and watch for the signs. Folks, I think that's a word for us here today. Don't just make a note of that in your book or in your Bible, whatever. That's, yeah. Who told you this story? Oh, yeah. Oh, very good. Very good. Thank you. Now, how do we match that? But let's try. Tell us what some situation. How do you keep calm when the tendency is to really lose it? Because God wants to be blessed. It's a blessing here for us if we walk to be in. William. Did you get that? Untested faith is no faith at all.
So whenever I go into this panic mood about something, I always remember those words, and that's what pushed me down to the Lord, how do I think that I'm not trusting him? Then I start remembering all the things that he has come through with.
Yes.
And that disappears.
Yes. Yeah. And we remember how faithful he was. Yeah. Wow. Thank you, Ben. Somebody else? Just something you found helpful.
I think when you have, like you said, when you feel like everything is fine, you don't feel like you're being tested. And when you face something terrible, when you feel like it's crazy,
kind of wish there was a better way, though, don't we? Not, does it have to be? Well, I think by our nature, lessons are learned only through the difficulties. Isn't there some expression that it will kill you? If it, what doesn't heal you kills you. No, have I got that right? No, I've got the right. What doesn't kill you makes you strong. I think there's some element of truth in that. Glad we didn't write the Bible. Somebody else. Yeah, please. Kevin. Yeah, he's always in your boat, yes. Yeah, good word. Yeah, please, Janice.
I always say that
one of our group members. Do you have any take on this? Thanks, Jess. Do you have any take on this as to why he said that? Like, he said, "Where's your faith?" What did he want to happen? Just a thought. How would that have been different if there's 12 people frightened to death in the boat, and he says he rebukes them. First he rebukes the wind and the waves, then he rebukes them. And I thought, what response did he want? Yeah.
I'm wondering if he just wanted to make sure they knew who was in the boat with them. You know, and that's how we have to think. Whatever situation we're in, God is always in the boat with us.
Yeah.
Jesus is always there.
Mm. Again, yeah, it's in the boat. Good. Somebody else? Yeah, please. Marcel. A little louder.
We sang that one song in the worship part this morning with I give myself away.
Yeah.
That reminded me of that I would rather sing I would give myself back.
Yeah.
Because we belong to God because He created us. And we were created to love Him.
Hmm.
So, when you get into trouble, so to speak, that is something that's truly helpful to me and makes me find a way to fully surrender to what is actually a normal and natural state of being for all of us. Whether we have walked away from God because of our upbringing or because of our own choice.
I think for some of us, we've lost nights of sleep because we were worried, right? You know, we just couldn't shut it off, and tossing and turning, and trying to believe and trust God, but it's so overwhelmingly disturbing, and what those moments are like. Or there's been some trouble you've had with somebody, and you know, there's words were said, and now you're thinking about this, and it's just upsetting. I think, and it's hard to say, okay, Lord, I commit this to you. Oh, good. Then I think about it, and oh, it's back again. I don't always, I have been always many times disappointed with my reaction because it wasn't a faith reaction. It was a panic reaction. I was disturbed. I was unsettled. And you can't help a situation when you're the one who's falling apart. You must lay hold of faith, trust God. And yeah, I think you're allowed maybe one night of sleeplessness, but not beyond that. Can we take a couple more then, Will? Yeah, please. Yeah. You know, though, if we have been worriers all our life, it's not easy to lay hold of it. But when we do, we're always back. I mean, imagine for somebody, you weren't even saved a couple of years ago, and here you are now talking about how to walk in faith. Wow, that's real progress in my mind. Real progress. Good. Thank you. Somebody else. Then stop feeling sorry for yourself. Yeah. Yeah, defer. Oh, haven't you, when you see the Lord working, you say, we put your faith in him. It's remarkable. And the peace, many times people have said, you know, I came in just absolutely fretting, and I went home full of faith and joy in my heart. And the Lord really met me today. And I thought, oh, that's what has to happen every week, right? The people come into the presence of God. Let's stand. You know what we should do, just for 30 seconds, let's lift our voices in thanksgiving. I'm not worried about that Thanksgiving. We'll celebrate that in a moment again here. But just whatever situation it is, don't worry about it. Just praise God. I'm going to count to three. And like the Koreans, you know, they just really raise their voices and they just proclaim. And so we'll be Korean just for a moment here. So I'm going to count to three, and then we'll let's just sustain it for 30 seconds. We don't have to do it for long, but. Thank you, Lord. One, two, three. Hallelujah, Lord. Bless you. Thank you. We honor you. We bless you, Lord. Great is the Lord our God. Greatly to be praised. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Mighty God. Oh, we love you. We love you, Lord. We thank you that you're in the boat. Thank you, God. We need not worry. We need not fret. You're with us. Thank you, God. Thank you. You are the mighty one. Every storm is controlled by you, Lord. We bless you. We thank you. Hallelujah. 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 Lord, we bring that trial to you. We bring that trouble to you. We bring that anxiety to you. And we say, oh, peace be still. In Jesus' name, Lord, we bless you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you for being here on this Thanksgiving Sunday. Please join us on the patio. I think it'll be a while before the turkey's ready, but come and join us for cookies. Thank you.